The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Bexar County has more babies dealing with the impact of drugs in their system than anywhere else in the state. Nearly 400 babies are born with withdrawals each year in Bexar County. That's about as many as Houston and Dallas combined. The infants are stabilized and treated, but what about the mothers? Casa Mia is a place, a program, and a way of helping these moms and infants stay together in recovery. But how does this program work? What can we learn about the problems of opioid addiction at this center? And what does this mean for the mother, who may have thought they were all out of options and out of hope? Many ways for you to get into our conversation as we talk about Casa Mia and opioid addiction here in San Antonio. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Dr. Lisa Cleveland. She's the leader of the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative, assistant professor at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. And Dr. Cleveland, welcome back to The Source.
Great to have you. Thank you.
Kevin Downey's here. He's president and CEO of Crosspoint. Kevin Downey, great to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
And Deanna Garcia, she's a new mom, and she's getting help at Casa Mia. Deanna, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you.
Tell me about... People kind of don't really understand neonatal abstinence syndrome very well. We talk about it. These babies are not born addicted, but they have been exposed to drugs in the womb. And how does that happen? And what do you end up, what kind of treatment do they get?
That's exactly correct. They're not born addicted. They are prenatally exposed to some type of substance that causes withdrawal. Oftentimes it's an opioid, but it can also be some other medications, such as medications used for depression can also cause withdrawal, as can benzodiazepines such as Xanax. And typically this may involve a hospital stay, and then possibly if it's an opioid, starting on some type of opioid medication until the infant is stable, and then weaning the baby off.
And Bexar County has a lot of these infants.
We have about a third of all cases reported in the state of Texas. That's the highest number.
And why is that? I mean, is it because the use is so high here, or because we have a system that is ready to step in?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure that I can answer that. I don't know why we have been so disproportionately impacted by NAS.
Because when we talk about the opioid crisis here locally, we continue to hear that it's not as bad as in other places, and we can't get away from that sort of talking point that it's not that bad here, as if that is a condition of like we don't need to be concerned. We should be concerned, but then we have this evidence that it is bad here.
It is. I mean, it is bad, and I think we kind of have this attitude. Well, we're not as bad as West Virginia or Ohio. Well, let's also not wait till we get to that point. We are being impacted by opioid use, and I do think Bexar County is being pretty proactive with some of the programs that they're putting into effect.
And this is a collaboration. We have different parties coming in together. People have different resources and expertise, and part of that is Crosspoint. Kevin Downey, president and CEO of Crosspoint, tell us about Crosspoint.
Crosspoint has been providing residential transitional services in San Antonio since 1963. We've worked with formerly incarcerated men and women. We serve homeless veterans. We have services for individuals who are addicted in recovery, also people with mental health issues. And this particular facility, which was previously called Prior House, was a residential support home for women in early recovery who were indigent when they completed treatment. So it has morphed into what it is today, Casa Mia, just last December, and we are so excited to be providing this innovative service with our new collaborator, UT Health School of Nursing.
I just want to make the distinction. There is a church, Crosspoint Church, here in the area. That is not you.
That is not
us. I mean,
us.
They're a great outfit. But
absolutely.
That's not you.
That is not us. We do have faith-based services, but we are not. We are a social services agency.
So you had something going on, prior house. It was, but wasn't really meeting all the expectations. And then we had Dr. Lisa Cleveland. She had a program, but she had some sort of funding or a grant or whatever. Didn't really know how to. So we all got together and found out, wow, this works.
That's absolutely what happened. We'd been running that program for 6 years, and it was for, again, women with substance abuse issues. But we did not take babies or infants, and it was not specific to opioid use disorders. And just a serendipitous meeting with Dr. Cleveland, and a very short time later, we realized we had a facility that had people trained to do residential support services, and she had a program and some funding.
Diana Garcia is with us. She's a new mom, and she's being helped at Casa Mia. And welcome, Diana. It's great to have you here.
Hi.
Tell us about your baby.
My baby was born 14 days ago. She is at the university on medical. She was born addicted, so she's on morphine to help her wean off right now. Like I said, she...
And what's your name of your baby?
Eliana.
Eliana.
Yes.
And so 14 days ago, two
yes.
weeks ago. That's amazing. And what did you think? Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What did you think the future looked like for you and your baby as you found out that you were going to have a baby? And when did you find out about Casa Mia?
Well, in the beginning, when I found out I was going to have a baby, I wasn't sure because of my use if I was going to be able to keep her. Or the situation, I really didn't have anywhere to go. So when I found out about Casa Mia, I got into the methadone program as soon as I found out I was pregnant. Well, without having anywhere to go, I spoke with my caseworker, and she's like, well, have you ever heard of Casa Mia? And I hadn't heard anything. So she's like, it's a very good program, and I think it would suit you. She's like, with everything you're going through. So she started explaining to me, you know, about Casa Mia, the advantages and everything that, you know, it's a safe place to go. We have women there that help us with all kinds of resources, and it's just a big help. And then, like I said, I didn't think I was going to be able to keep her, and the opportunity of being at Casa Mia, you get to keep your baby. And it's safe. It's a safe home where your caseworker actually approves of the baby's being with you.
Tell me about the difference that it makes that you're able to keep your baby and be the primary nurturer, caregiver of your child.
I mean, it's a blessing. Like I said, I didn't think I was going to be able to keep her. And, you know, I thought all hope was lost and she was going to either go into the system or a foster home or just, I mean, you don't know at the time being on drugs or even being on the methadone or what's going to happen in the situations if you're going to even be able to keep your baby. So when it was made to that I was going to be able to keep her, it was just a blessing. And getting to know everybody in the home, the girls are very together. We're each other's support system. Miss Lisa Cleveland, she's just been a big help. Just cussing me all together has just been a blessing being there. If not, I'd be in the streets with no baby and nowhere to go.
And you probably would have gone back to using?
Yeah, she's like my incentive, my reason to stay clean. She just gave me hope, and the house just gave me hope. And like I said, they help you with all kinds of resources. And being able to keep your baby is just a blessing, and being able to have somewhere to sleep at night and not be wanting the streets on drugs, it's a good place. It's just been a blessing in my life to be there.
We're talking about Casa Mia. It's a new program here in Bexar County where the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative has come up with a home for mothers who are dealing with addiction. They have babies, are able to care for their children, and they're getting counseling and recovery along the way. What kind of questions do you have about the neonatal abstinence syndrome or local efforts to address issues related to opioid use? If you have a personal experience, stories to tell us about your opioid use, you can call in. You can be anonymous, talk about your recovery or your abuse. Your stories will help others. Call in. The number right now is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're talking about Casa Mia, which is a unique program here in Bexar County. It offers hope and offers support and relief, recovery for mothers, new mothers who have children and are dealing with opioid addiction. Got a question or a comment? The number is 210-614-8980. Elizabeth is on the line. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. And thanks again for a great program. And I mainly, first of all, want to thank all the principals involved in providing this resource for mothers and their children. This is such an intelligent and humane approach and positive approach to dealing with this problem. And I want to commend the mothers for the courage to step forward on behalf of their babies, because that's a huge step for them, too. So thanks to everybody. My question really is related to addiction of a different kind, but I'm thinking in terms of women who smoke during pregnancy or vape and are addicted to nicotine. I don't know if there's a parallel, but it is another form of addiction. So that's my question.
All right. Sister Elizabeth, thank you so much for that call. So that brings up an interesting issue when it regards to the women who are at Casa Mia. You're allowing them to use methadone and other ways of dealing with their addiction. Some places in the past have been really strict about saying, no, it's complete recovery, total abstinence of any sort of and so talk about how we've gotten to a place now where we're able to accept the fact that Suboxone and also methadone is something that we can use.
You bring up a really great point. oftentimes, recovery housing will discriminate against individuals who are using medication-assisted recovery with medications such as methadone or buprenorphine. We do not do that. I mean, there's no reason to do that. It's really the only evidence-based treatment we have for opioid use disorder, and it makes no sense to discriminate against it. And you mentioned earlier the Bexar County NAS Collaborative. And really, Casa Mia comes from the Bexar County NAS Collaborative. And that collaborative really is a partnership between UT Health School of Nursing, community partners. But really at the center of that collaboration is our family members, our mothers, fathers, grandparents who have been personally impacted by NAS. And what came out of those conversations was that there is no place in Bexar County where women can go to recover with their children. And so that's really what started this whole project.
And two, I don't want to ignore Sister Elizabeth's question about the nicotine. Of course, nicotine is not good for a baby, you know, in gestation, but it's not as problematic as heroin addiction would be.
I mean, I think it depends on how you define problematic. We know that nicotine can cause preterm labor. It can also cause low birth weight. And low birth weight really is an indicator for health throughout your life.
Right. So it's up to be avoided, but
yes.
Casa Mia is not for nicotine addiction.
No, it's specifically for opioid use disorder, and that's because the funding that we have from the state of Texas, the Health and Human Services Commission, is for opioid use disorder.
And I do like the point you brought up about the dangers to the baby in gestation during smoking and vaping. Mm-hmm. It's not good for them. But so Diana Garcia, you're giving the option to be able to use methadone in order to control your addiction. Has that worked out for you?
It's been a big help. Just in general, just being off the drugs. I mean, methadone takes the place of that urge and the whole wanting the drug and everything. And it's funded by the state and it's legal. So it helps you in a form that you don't have to be out there committing crimes or all kinds of things just to get the drug. And like I said, it's just safer. And I mean, it's just helped me altogether.
Is the methadone brought to Casa Mia?
No.
You have to go to the facility.
We go to the dome.
Why can't we fix that?
I would love it if we could fix that.
And that's a problem I hear all the
yes.
time about these artificial restrictions about being able to get methadone to the people who need it.
Well, even when we have mothers who are wanting to room in with their newborns, which is really what's recommended, if we can have moms and babies stay together from birth on, babies tend to have much less severe symptoms. But for women who are on methadone, they still have to leave to go to their methadone clinic to get their dose.
And I hear that going to the methadone clinic can be an unpleasant experience, that there's a lot of chaos there, and there are even people there who are like, you know, slinging dope on the corner.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
It does. Well, in general, it's completely like you see it anywhere and it's going to be in any situation. But like they tell us, it has to come from us. But yeah, it can be, you see it outside the doors. You see it in the parking lot. I mean, just in general, you see people abusing it. But if you use it for the right cause, then you get out of it. But if you're using it just to get high and high, you're not going to go anywhere. But the purpose for us, like me personally, I'm trying to go down now, wing myself off the methadone.
It's hard.
Yes, it is. But if you go, instead of jumping to 5 milligrams and you start by 2 or 3, you can bear it. You can bear it, and you can slowly get off the methadone.
All right, let me go to another caller. This is Arlene. Arlene, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys? I'm a nurse in the community who actually takes care of the NAS babies, and I'm really glad to hear about Casa Mia. It's not something that's widely known, even amongst NICU nurses. However, I've experienced a lot of moms who want to get clean and struggle with it, and I was just wondering what the statistics were on the women who go through the methadone program and stay off of drugs successfully. And then I just wanted to comment, like, I'm so glad to hear of this mom who's keeping her child. But unfortunately, we do see a lot of moms who don't have that opportunity because they have every intention to stay clean, but they just struggle with actually staying clean. And my other question was, in terms of treatment for the baby, and this is for the professor from UT Health, is there any known benefit to using, like, some doctors use methadone to treat the baby and wean them off. Some use morphine. Is there any benefit to using either or? Is morphine better than methadone or methadone better than morphine for the baby?
Okay, Arlene, thank you for that. So, Dr. Lisa Cleveland?
So the question about methadone versus morphine, we see a lot of variation even within a city, depending on the facility across states. A lot of it comes down to preference. There is some really good research, though, that looks at the use of buprenorphine versus morphine or methadone, and actually it's looking really promising, particularly when women are on buprenorphine during pregnancy versus methadone. The mother study really showed that there was less withdrawal in the newborn. And then I know when in Kentucky, they're actually even using it to wean babies off after birth.
So I think the question that Arlene was talking about was the scale. Like, how big of a program are we actually talking about, Kevin Downey? How many women can this serve?
This, well, it's a 20-bed capacity, and this is a combination, 20 people, so mothers and children. And as soon as the word gets out, we are convinced this is going to be far too small to deal with the scope of the problem. And we have actually been getting calls now from outside of San Antonio because this is such an unknown resource throughout the state.
And so how long y'all been open?
4 months, is that right? Yes.
Almost four months. Yes.
Okay, so what does it take for a woman comes in, has a child, and it doesn't work out? I mean, what does that look like? You know, it's like, you got to go. How ugly does it have to get, Dr. Cleveland?
It hasn't happened yet, and it's probably a better question for Dr. Downey when you have somebody. I mean, we know this is a really difficult disease, right? And I think this is really too...
But you got to run your shop.
You do.
Right. So, and to kind of address the nurse asking about what is the success rate, I don't know that anybody has those statistics, but we do know that this is a very difficult disease and relapse is part of this disease.
And two of the things that I think are critical that we have to point out is, one, the women that are there must be in some form of treatment. If they would just refuse treatment, CrossPoint would not allow them to continue as a client. The other thing is there is a certain amount of structure and accountability that's involved in these programs because they're residential based.
So Diana Garcia, as a resident there dealing with this, you think it's reasonable? They treat you with respect? This is something you can work with?
Yes, they're very caring, very loving. They don't judge us. I mean, they're very supportive. And that's everybody in the program completely.
All right, we're going to hear more stories about San Antonio addiction and some of the hope and help that's available, particularly coming from this collaboration of the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative. We're going to take a break, but our phone lines are open. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll get your questions and comments on the air. We got to do some pledge drive business, but after that, we'll come right back and continue with The Source. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Casa Mia, which is a unique program that helps babies that are born with substance addiction problems here in Bexar County, which is a major problem here in Bexar County. What sort of structure and stability can Casa Mia provide mothers with opioid use disorder and their children? What is the recovery process like for women with a new baby? And you can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. We have Dr. Lisa Cleveland with us. She's a leader of the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative, an assistant professor at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. Kevin Downey, he's a president and CEO of Crosspoint, and Diana Garcia, she is a new mom. 2 weeks ago, she had her child, Alisa, and the Eliana, and she's being helped at Casa Mia. The number to call in again is 210-614-8980. How's what's Eliana doing right now?
Eliana is in the hospital right now with her nurses. She is weaning herself off the morphine so she can go ahead and come home.
And what was her birth weight and all that?
She was 5 pounds, 3 ounces. She was 18 inches long. And during the process of her withdrawing from the morphine and, you know, the drug use, she went down to 4 pounds, 3 ounces, but they gave her a double calorie milk. So now she's back up, back to her 5 pounds, 3 ounces. And hopefully by the time she comes home at the house.
Go ahead.
At the house, they keep track of her weight. They're going to start keeping folders on the babies. Just, you know, they help you get prenatal care, everything. They help you with a pediatrician. I mean, it's all kind of resources you can imagine. And like I said, the women of the house, they're very helpful. They don't judge us. They're just.
And you get to hold her and everything, right?
Yes.
What's that like?
I love it. I've gotten a connection with her, you know, just being there with her. Seeing her, what she's going through. Of course, you feel a sense of guilt, but with counseling and, you know, like we get classes, we have a counselor, we have a recovery coach. So just speaking with them, it helps you find a peace, and just knowing she's coming home and she's getting the help she needs, it reassures me.
Yeah, so I always think that everyone's doing the best they can. It's not easy, and we all have tough circumstances. And so hopefully you don't feel you're not beating yourself up too bad. We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Lisa Cleveland, if there wasn't Casa Mia, if there wasn't this program, how could things have been a lot different for Diana and her baby?
Well, traditionally, when, you know, a mother comes into the hospital and delivers, if she or her baby tests positive for a substance, CPS becomes involved, Child Protective Services. And so if the woman is not able to provide a safety plan, which might, involve a family member who can kind of step in, then these children go into foster care. And that really can start that repetitive cycle of trauma that many of our mothers themselves have experienced. And so we just see this repetition of this trauma generation after generation. And so my hope is that Casa Mia can help break that cycle.
Go ahead.
You know, due to being in Casa Mia, when I was in the streets, of course, you know, your family gets tired and they lose hope. And they don't want to help you anymore. And due to being in the home, I've gotten a connection back with my family. So luckily, I was blessed that for my aunt to be my safety plan and to help me going through this process with Eliana right now. And just the whole, like I said, it's a blessing altogether, because you being in a home, your family's reassured, you're not in the streets, you're not using, you're not doing any of that. So that connection grows, you know, and at least, like I said, for me, my baby gets to come home. And just the house brings hope for anybody that's looking for somewhere to go, tired of being in the streets. And even if, you know, any kind of situation, the home can help you.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. And Jerry is on the line. Jerry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling. The main thing I want to say is it's great that you bring in family members, significant others, because 20 beds, when I heard that, you guys better get ready to be bursting at the seams, because people are going to be dependent on you. And there's going to be women out there, good people, you know, who get on methadone, good people come out of this. And it's very, you know, important that the significant others be brought into the process, because, like she said earlier, you know, they get sick of you, and, you know, I am currently on methadone myself, and if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be, you know, where I'm at today. So anyway, the main thing is the family members, because there's a lot of guys out there that once the women decide to clean. They just ditch them. You know, they run and do their own thing, and that's just kind of the second nature for, you know, some of the, so, you know, that's what men sometimes do, you know, and unfortunately it happens a lot, you know, and if they can bring the family members or the significant others mainly, you know, that, that the child does have a father, you know, and it's important to try to get these men involved. So anyway, thanks, guys.
All right.
And keep up fighting the good fight.
Jerry, thanks for your call and good luck to you, sir. So what about the family unit? What about, you know, typically, not specifically to Diana, but, you know, what about, how does a dad enter into these things?
So fathers are welcome to visit their children, but I mean,
it all depends on the nature of their relationship.
Absolutely, yeah. We want to make sure that our families, our moms and our children are safe in the home. So it definitely depends on, you know, what was that relationship before. But the caller makes an excellent point, and that is the need for family recovery housing. And, you know, that's something that we don't currently have in San Antonio, but I see a huge opportunity for that.
And what would that look like?
So it may look like an apartment type complex, you know, where everybody in that community is living in a sober environment where they're supporting one another in their recovery. I think that there's definitely room for that in San Antonio.
And so Kevin Downey, president and CEO of Crosspoint, and you're a big part of this collaborative making Casa Mia work. What were your expectations of what Casa Mia could be, and are we there?
Well, the program itself, the design, the people working together, the collaboration, absolutely met my expectations. Like so many new programs, I was surprised at how slowly the beds started filling up, because we've been open almost 4 months, and I thought the beds would be full in 4 weeks. But it takes a while for things to get known. But I think it's not just across the potential people that could come in, but also folks who could do funding. Baptist Health Foundation stepped up and kicked in money. The Sisters of the Holy Spirit just gave us enough money to build a playground out back for the kids. So it's perhaps the speed at which it's moving didn't meet my expectations, but everything else certainly did.
And so with the children who are at the facility, they're not all infants. They range in ages. What do you have?
Yes, they range in ages. We have a three-year-old there now. We've got a couple babies. We're going to have a newborn soon. We can't wait for that. But we've had children there as old as, I think, seven.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, typically when you have a birth and there's an infant test positive for neonatal abstinence syndrome, CPS, Child Protective Services, they're called in, you know, and what kind of role, what kind of partnership, what kind of relationship do you have with CPS?
So we do partner with Child Protective Services. And a couple years ago, when we first started to imagine this project, we met with CPS, with their local investigators, because we knew they had to be on board. If they weren't on board, this project wasn't going
to
work.
They have to kind of, say, give you the blessing that you can take the children there, right?
Well, and they really did. And we invited them to the house. We took them on a tour. We explained the program to them. And so, yeah, I mean, we have to partner together. But the nice thing, I think, is that this gives them an option as well. You know, I don't believe that Child Protective Service caseworkers want to remove children and split up families. So this gives them another option where they may not have to do that.
And we hear frequently about how the turnover at Child Protective Services, and I can imagine that you probably see a lot of new faces all the time. And you're going to have to – it's like one of those episodes of Star Trek where, you know, who is this new person? I got to explain it all over to them again. And so what's happening?
We'll keep explaining it as many times as we have to. The door at CASA is kind of a revolving door. We have CPS workers coming up. I mean, it's open. Come see it. We would love to show it to you.
And so, CPS, Child Protective Services, a lot of mothers have a lot of suspicion about interacting with CPS. I mean, and because they're afraid of having their children taken away from them. And what were your concerns, Diana?
That was mainly my concern, that I wasn't going to be able to have my daughter or to even have her come home with me or anything in general. My thing was, you know, CPS is going to get involved and my daughter's going to go to a foster home. At the time, like I said, when I was in the streets, my family wasn't around. And what was I going to do? Where was I going to turn? My option was literally I kept doing drugs, kept using, because I was afraid and I was sad. You know, she was going to get taken away and I knew I wasn't going to be able to have her anymore. And with Casa Mia, I mean, it just gave me the opportunity to clean myself up, to keep working the methadone program, and to get my daughter to come home.
And so what is the exit strategy for someone at Casa Mia? When do you realize, okay, it's time for you to leave the nest? And so, Kevin Downey?
Well, it's not tied to time. We purposely didn't say, oh, this is going to be a 90-day program, 120-day program, because people are at all different points in their recovery, and we have to be sensitive to individual needs. So when a person's ready to go, we talked about the importance of family reunification. That's the largest support for all of our programs. Once they've established the support systems they need, that they are well on the path to recovery, we don't want them to stay there longer than they have to be either.
So what do you they didn't want to stay there indefinitely. You know, they can't live there.
I think it's having goals, finishing your recovery plan, feeling that you're at a good point in your recovery, feeling that you have, I mean, like I said, they give you all kind of resources to utilize. So once you either get into housing or find somewhere to go or get yourself situated with a job and you have your program and you've completed, you know, like I'm in Alpha Home. So as soon as I complete Alpha Home and maybe I have a recovery coach, I get myself on a track where I can still keep going to groups, AA, NA, just having a place to go, like I said, finding somewhere, getting yourself a job, having all that together, I think then you'll know you're ready. But like I said, especially like, you know, having your family support, you can't get through this being on methadone, being on drugs without family, period. And I understand some family tries to put their feet down so they can, you know, I guess teach you and show you. But there has to be a point where you need support. And Casa Mia gives you that.
And transitional housing, by its nature, is short-term. Some people have come to our programs because we've got beautiful facilities, and they would like to stay longer, but this is not supportive housing. Yes. It was never designed for a person to be there a year, 2 years. And pretty much figured out after 6 months, they've gotten the good out of it.
And I suspect that women are not going to want to stay there forever. I mean, it is somewhat restrictive, right? Diana just called and checked in. Well, during a break, she just called and checked in to let the staff know that she made it here safely. But, you know, it is restrictive. And so at some point, Diana's going to be ready to be done with that.
There's a curfew?
We have a curfew. We make accountability calls. Everywhere you go, you have to check in, check out. I'm on my way back. You got to be in by 9 o'clock. You got to sign out and leave a number. Call from wherever you're at so they know you're at that destination. So if I go to the hospital to visit my daughter, I use the phones downstairs and call. I'm here, you know, checking in.
Not everyone is ready to deal with that type of oversight.
I mean, you have, like I said, you have to want it. You have to be ready. You can't just go because you want a place to stay. You have to be willing to work the program. You know, your kids need to be safe.
All right. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation talking about Casa Mia and opioid addiction here in San Antonio. The number to call in, got a question or a comment, a story to tell us. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The number to call in to join our conversation about Casa Mia and the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative and opioid addiction here in Bexar County. The number is 210-614-8980. Diana Garcia, she's a new mom, and she's being helped at Casa Mia. What's it like there? What's the dynamic? What's mealtime like at Casa Mia?
We get our three meals a day, which is catered.
Do you all sit together, all the moms?
No, everybody has a different day, so some of us can be running around. It's mainly at the end of the night. We all come together, and we all sit in the living room, and we just hang out. You know, there's babies in the home, like we said. So we kind of look to each other for everything. The girls have become like my sisters. There was a time when I first got there, and they were like, are you okay? You know, always checking on me because I was pregnant. And, you know, after I had the baby, they were like, oh, my God. Everybody called. Miss Lisa came down. The girls couldn't wait till I came home. Every day they're like, when is baby coming home? When is baby coming home? We just utilize all the tools we have. We sit down, like we watch a show. And it's so funny that they were watching a show about like what I think it was confronting their parents because they were in foster homes. And we were like, wow, that touched our hearts because it's what we're going through. That's where we didn't want our kids to end up. So we all sat together and we were talking about our situation. And, you know, it's just like I said, we've come so close. We're like sisters. Like if one of the baby's sick, we're all like there to help each other. We look to each other for everything. If, you know, we're going through it, we have a bad day at the end of the night, we sit down together and we talk about it. And, you know, you can turn to one of the girls because they've been in the situation. They've been there. We have some that are doing the family drug court. So they've been through a lot. And there's been some girls that have been fighting for almost like 6 months to a year for their kid, got into Casamia, and their kids are there with them now. And it's like, they're like, don't lose hope. You know, look what I've been through. And, you know, it's a trying process. It's very hard. But knowing they did it, you can get through it too. And like I said, they push, you know, they push each other in the house. We are just there to support each other. And like the ladies there that give us our resources and stuff, Miss Salva, Miss Vargas, everybody, Miss Alex, they are there to turn to them. If we need somebody to talk to, we can go into the office and talk to them for any reason. And same thing with the girls. They'll tell you, you know, hey, come to me if you need something. There's girls at work. There's girls that are barely coming into the program, so they're getting settled with the whole situation. You know, they're like, well, I need a counselor. I need this. I need that. We help each other with all that. We tell each other who we can turn to, and, oh, here, I have this. You can call my counselor. You can call my caseworker or anything like that.
And so Kevin Downey, president and CEO of Crosspoint, having that group dynamic, helping each other, encouraging each other, cheerleading, coaching, holding each other accountable, is that an unexpected benefit of having Casamia and group recovery?
I think it's actually an expected benefit. Each of our residential facilities, whether it's the veterans facility, whether it's the behavioral health facility, the female formerly incarcerated or male formerly incarcerated facility, it's the group dynamic that keeps people retaining a sense of hope and feeling that they have a support other than just the staff that are working there.
And I think also having the children in the home really brings a lot to the recovery residents. We know from research that when children are present in recovery housing, everyone in the residence benefits. Yes. And so I think that really brings something special to this program.
Yeah.
And so you talked about funding a little bit, and it kind of seems like there's sort of a patchwork of different people coming together. That everyone, a lot of people seeing that this is really worth support, but is it still kind of not nailed down the way you would like?
It's pretty grassroots, but we do have a state contract that is funding most of the daily operations of the recovery residents. And then Dr. Downey also mentioned Baptist Foundation and the Sisters of the Holy Spirit. And so, but we are always looking for funding.
Is there like Medicaid money, or is there some sort of resource in that area?
It's not for recovery housing. There is for primary care, and actually our School of Nursing can offer primary care to the women and children in the residence if they would like, and they are aware of that. We also have a nurse assigned to the residence who's there to take care of the ladies and the children's health needs, and we're about to have a nutrition there a couple hours a week as well.
And one of the tricky things about funding is what it is that they're funding, and because this is not a treatment facility and it is not licensed to do addictions treatment, there are certain pots of money that you can't go after.
And so when you have a resident who has reached a point where they have to leave Casamia, they're stabilized, maybe they have a job and they have housing, but do you have some sort of handoff services that are going to be able to continue to follow up on that?
It's always a warm handoff to all of the resources a person's going to need when they leave transitional housing. It's a key part of it, and we begin working on it as soon as we get them.
And our state funding also allows for a little bit of money for the ladies when they leave so that they can put down a deposit, security deposit, on an apartment, and just to kind of get them up and going. We also have a baby registry. So we're getting a lot of donations through our baby registry.
How does that work?
Things the ladies need. It's through Amazon.com. So, yeah, and we're getting all kinds of donations.
Go to baby registry and you go to Casamia.
Casamia, yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff on there.
And that would go to children who are...
Go straight to the home. Yeah. Yep. So anything the children might need, clothing, items for the moms.
Books, games.
Bottles. Yes. Bottles, all kinds of things.
Everything. You know what, babies, they go through a lot of stuff.
They go through a lot of stuff, yes. And we have a closet that's filling, which is great.
Yeah.
And so let me go to this caller, Kinga. Kinga, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi. Yes, I was just listening to your radio broadcast. I've never listened to it before, and I was listening about Casamia and the needs in Bexar County. And I, as a stay-at-home mom, I'm raising my little ones, and I was just thinking,
is there some way, or is there a need for like transitional, like maybe fostering or not necessarily adopting? Because I know I understand most of the parents are, you know, overcoming their addiction and getting help and getting clean. But what about the children in the meantime?
Okay, Kinga, thank you for the call. And who wants to respond to that?
I think in general, some of the girls have been saying it would be nice, you know, because a lot of us don't have family, like I said, like a safety plan. Because a lot of us, we need a safety plan. Like my safety plan would have to take me every morning to the methadone and then bring me back, which it's like a 10-minute thing. So she's coming from the other side of town just to bring me. And then I have to go to group Tuesday and Wednesday. So her and my mom or my safety plan, they would have to decide, you know, you have her Tuesday or you have her Wednesday. So if we had a woman, but that's also funding, you know, if we had a person that could stay in-house and be there to take care of the kids while we go run these little errands real quick, that would help. We've always talked about that. But like I said, it's a lot to do with funding and finding them somebody who would want to stay in home. It's a lot of things and little nicks and stuff that they still need to figure out in the house. Transportation. We get medical transportation, but say we need an emergency ride, like I go see my daughter and I'm like, oh, I'm done with everything. I want to go see her. It would be nice to have somebody there to take us or that we can call. So it's just a lot of things like the house would still need funding for.
How does someone qualify to get into Casa Mia? What's the first step?
So if they are a woman who has an opioid use disorder and is pregnant and or parenting, they can call 210-549-4730. Again, 210-549-4730 to make a referral. Women can self-refer. That's something that a lot of folks don't know. So if you are a woman in need, you can refer yourself.
So that's probably the first step is to call that number.
Call the number.
And one more time.
210-549-4730.
We got a lot of numbers floating around right now on the source because we got to donate and call in and all this kind of stuff. But this is really an important number. If it's for you, if you're a mom, found you're pregnant and you're addicted and you want to figure out what do I do now, this number could save your life.
This could be your answer.
And for your child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to thank you so much, especially to our rock star, Diana Garcia. Oh, she's a new mom. Yeah. Congratulations to you. She's being helped at Casa Mia. Kevin Downey, president, CEO of Crosspoint, and Dr. Lisa Cleveland, leader of the Bexar County Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Collaborative, professor at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing.